Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in franchising, business, and high-performance personal development. Today goes without exception. We have a talented entrepreneur, savvy franchise operator, and an incredible matchmaker with one of the world's top franchise networks in IFPG, Chris Valdez. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me, Nick.
It's great to have you, Chris. This is a show just helping people level up and improve their skills as entrepreneurs, franchise owners. You know, I'd like to get started with asking you about, you know, your journey to become join the franchise space. There's a saying, as you know, franchising has a way of finding you. So Chris, how did franchising find you?
Well, I think found me at a very young age. I didn't grow up with a lot of resources. You know, my parents were separated. My mom was a single mom raising three children at that time and making minimum wage. It was, you know, humble beginnings. And so I think coming, wanting to do better and staying motivated got me to just working hard just to earn an income, right? Just a basic, you know, as a bag boy, and then worked at Old Navy at one point and CVS. And then I really got into selling Cutco knives. And that's kind of where my sales journey, door-to-door sales, and that's how I paid my way through college. And throughout that journey, I've met a lot of different individuals, business owners, and I ended up landing in the medical device field at a young age. And throughout that journey, being in the medical device space, I was happy to have graduated college. And I feel like I was like just doing better. That whole goal, I think I got really sucked into, you know, trying to build wealth at a young age because I didn't come from much, right? So I think vector marketing kind of helped, you know, mold me and drive me to reading books and to things I really was never taught by my parents. It's more about just go to college, get a good job. And I started saving and being frugal from a very young age. And I think I still am kind of that way today. And I found franchising in a unique way when I was in my almost mid-20s. I had colon cancer, right? So I was, you know, one day not doing too great. And I got sick, you know, didn't feel it. It was very silent portion, but just like most people who get regular checks and check their colon and find a polyp. But in my case, it was a little bit different. And that kind of shaped my entire life. You go through your ups and downs, a little bit of depression, it's fear. You felt embarrassed. People knew about it. And it was hard to overcome that mentally. But after I started kind of continuing, I think that what changed in my mind, I was chasing that corporate dream. And I realized that that dream just wasn't me anymore. You know, that event in my life taught me how short life could be. And I wanted more. So I've always wanted to run my own business, but I didn't know how or what that idea was going to be. I was working in the medical device field and I saw a lot of distributors and I saw a lot of individual people have success in that field. But they were just manufactured reps, essentially. Well, my mother, who ran a cleaning business, cleaning homes, had a client who happened to be a franchise owner with Long John Silver's, and his name was Mr. Mike Kern. And I was probably most impressed with Mike because he just seemed like the average guy, you know, just very quiet, humble. And as I started getting to meet him over time, because we're my mom's children, so we don't go to those clients' homes, we saw him a couple of times, and the guy owned like 30 plus Long John Silver's. And he had a very unique story himself and how he got into doing that. And if I recall correctly, he may watch this and say that was wrong. But I think he started at a young age working for a fast food business, maybe Long John's. But either way, he ended up becoming the CEO of Yum Brands, moved to Kentucky with his family, and they ran all those divisions. So he kind of planted the seed. I was in Florida right after I had my surgery. And I talked to him. I was driving to a hospital and visiting physicians, and I was on the phone in the car with him, and he told me he should read the E-Myth book. And he started giving me advice to read. And actually, on my phone, I still have the E-Myth right now. And I started reading about that. So as he was watering that plant of that seed, I started reading, and I had the fear. I talked to 60 plus franchise companies in the course of many years, and I always found an issue with every franchise company. I had fear of failure. I had anxiety of changing and, you know, changing careers and what other people would have thought about me. I'm working in the medical device field. I'm talking at doctors. It's more of a white collar type of industry. And, you know, it's very specialized, getting to go to the operating room. But what are people going to think if I leave this field? Am I a failure, right? What if I fail? I wasn't married, don't have children, and I'm just betting on myself, essentially. And I got to trust on what a company says. After years of going through corporate America and dealing in the medical device field, I met a lot of talented sales representatives, managers. I realized that everyone there was just trading their time for a paycheck. You had to be well-liked in the organization, and you had to suck up to a lot of people that, quite frankly, you just wouldn't do that in normal life just to get a pay raise or a promotion. And I just didn't feel comfortable. That's not who I was. And after getting sick, I realized that time was my most valuable asset. And if my life was so short and I was not going to be here, why am I going to spend the short time I have on this earth working for somebody else instead of living out my best life, or at least giving myself a true opportunity, a shot to do it, to doing my own thing, which led me back into franchising. So anyways, I got into the end of my career with the medical device industry, and I started looking into franchise opportunities. And I realized that I talked to many consultants. And what I learned when I talked to franchise consultants around the country, as I was talking to 60 plus companies over the course of, you know, 7 or 8 years, that none of them had ran a franchise. Most of them, if they did, it was very few. And a majority of them had never even ran a business. So I was being advised by individuals who never ran a franchise. And the person who I really pivoted most towards was that going back to that guy named Mike, Mr. Mike Kern. And I remember what he told me. It just always stuck with me. I'm like, that guy is a franchise owner. I've seen his house. I see how he lives. And then he became the CEO of a big company, like the most recognizable brands out there, some of them, right? And I was like, he was just so very humble. He didn't seem like he was like, I'm better than you. He was just always willing to teach me. So that's when I said, I want to help guide people the way that I was never guided. That led me to want to consult individuals into looking into business opportunities. And then ultimately, I consulted myself into my own franchise, which is where I'm at today with the Grout Medic. And that's kind of what led me to my journey of franchising and helping individuals out to this point today.
Chris, thanks for taking us on that journey. Appreciate it. And so many nuggets in there. I think one of the things that you said that you mentioned was your own fear, right? It had led you to do so much research over all of these brands and eventually led you to talk to many different consultants, which opened your eyes to realizing that a lot of them didn't really understand how to run a business. And so how could they ultimately consult you? I'm curious, what do you mean when you say fear? What was that like? When you talk about stepping into business ownership, could you shed some light on what your personal fear was like that held you back from pursuing a franchise?
Well, the first thing is I was a single guy and I didn't have that additional backup of capital, and I didn't want to burn through all my savings. And I did have a savings. I've always been frugal. So to this day, I still live the same way. I mean, the more I make, I spend less. I try to invest it back into me. But I didn't want, my fear was, I would lose everything that I've worked so hard for. And in the event, you know, I got sick. So my thing was healthcare benefits from the corporation. And so what, you know, quite frankly, I have better healthcare benefits than I worked for any of those companies today. And that's a fact. Actually, as I sit here today, on Monday, it's 8 weeks that I had my appendix taken out. So go figure, right? So, and my healthcare benefits really, really shine there. And I know because they've approved it and I've seen the bills and I've paid it and we're good. So they really held their end of the bargain. So I'm really blessed and fortunate to have good health insurance today. But my fear of failure was running out of capital and not doing a good job. And I didn't know what I didn't know. So who was going to advise me on how to coach and guide people? Who's going to advise me on how to hire those type of individuals? Is, you know, why in the world am I paying for all these royalties? What am I getting out of that as a franchise owner? Am I really just another number in a corporation making the corporate staff or the owners of that company all the wealth. And I'm just, you know, I'm building up the brand that they built, and I'm just building up their dream, no different than being an employee. And I knew that for me to guide people, that I needed to step out of my comfort zone and do it myself. I'm proud to say today that I'm happy that I made that decision. I've learned a lot about myself. Have I made errors? Yeah, I have. And do I continue to make errors? Yeah, I do. But I learn from those, but it's not a failure. It's a growth opportunity as a leader. It teaches me to be, I'm probably more patient today than I have a lot more tolerance than I ever did. But it also has taught me areas of weakness and my areas of strengths. And I think my faith has been probably a big thing. God has really been a big crucial part in my life. People talk about faith and God, and they believe in this, or they believe in whatever, they don't believe in something. I would say I was pretty proudful, had a lot of pride, and I was proud of what I accomplished. And getting sick completely humbled me. And I realized that in a matter of a blink of an eye, I was here and gone tomorrow. So everything that I was working towards, nothing. And it kind of humbled me, got me practically in the better word of saying, kind of getting you on your knees. And it taught me that really I'm just skin and bones. And today I'm still skin and bones. And I think that's what I try to help other individuals who I speak with, or Alex or Danielle, who are on my team, speak with, that we're just normal human beings. And I'm not going to be here forever. I'm here now and I'm impacting individuals today, but one day Chris Valdez won't be here anymore. And I think God shined a lot. You know, he's taught me a lot. He's humbled me a lot. And it's hard to be kind of like, you know, have a good attitude. And sometimes people don't show up to calls and don't respect my time, knowing that I don't even have to be on the call. It kind of gets annoying, to be honest with you, or they don't listen to advice. And then I think about that. I'm like, how can I have a good Christ-like type attitude, or a good godly attitude in a situation where someone's kind of disrespecting your time or whatever? But then you realize that I was probably that same individual. So you grow, you mature, the little things not bother you. And you realize that I'm blessed to be living a life that others wish they would be living. Not everybody, of course, but what do I mean by they wish they were living? Well, I'm still here today. I have the flexibility of time to do the things that I enjoy doing. The only reason I consult is not because I have to. It's because I enjoy helping others. And I'm passionate about doing your own thing. And franchising to me is a tool that helps others go after their personal dreams. Franchising for me gives me the flexibility to be part of my community, to be a part of a new community, the franchise industry, but also be part of my community and other things that has nothing to do with franchising. Expose me to customers and individuals that have impacted me that, quite frankly, I would have never met had it not been for being a business owner, having great employees to help learn from them and to mold me into the man that I'm becoming.
Yeah, well said. You know, Chris, I've always admired your determination and focus and just understanding of who you are and why you do what you do. Learning a little bit about how you became a consultant, it sounds like you were exploring franchising and ultimately, you know, it looked into some consultants. But what was it that drew you to being a consultant? Why franchise consulting?
Well, the reason I wanted to be a consultant primarily is I wanted to be able to give as accurate of an advice to individual about franchising based on my experience, because I feel a lot of people experience fear, and I had a lot of fear. Now, there are a lot of great consultants out there too who are franchise owners and who do know. And actually, I spoke to a young lady today. And I say young lady, you know, she's a mature woman, and her husband, they run franchise, and she's a consultant. Super, super nice person, knows exactly what they're doing. They're in the home service space as well. And they're just sharp. But I wish we had more of those type of individuals. But unfortunately, there's a tremendous amount of realtors out there. And my brother-in-law and my sister are realtors. They're great. But it's like talking about, hey, let's invest into real estate, like being investors and owning a bunch of doors and renting, you know, commercial or residential properties or duplexes or apartments or whatever, talking about it, but you've never done it. And that's kind of how I felt about the franchise consultant. Let's talk about franchising and how great this industry is. It is a great industry. It's great to be a part of it, but not as a, have you ever ran a franchise? And almost unanimously, 9 out of 10 of those individuals had never ran a franchise. So I was like, can you tell me what franchise you ran? And they would just, you know, beat around the bush. Can you tell me what years you ran a franchise? What were your accolades? Why did you sell your franchise? Did you fail? And they couldn't answer that. So they were like, it didn't give me the confidence needed to move forward. And I knew that I wanted to become the consultant that I never had. And I became the consultant that I had through an individual who was really not a consultant. He was consulting me for just being gracious, because my mother was, you know, that was one of my mother's clients. And he was just being nice to me as one of her children. And because I had that. So he kind of took me, probably saw me as a son and as a young man wanting to do better. And I learned from him, and that style that he brought to me, I use my own personality and I use my personality to consult others and guide them today.
I love it. You'd mentioned that as a consultant, right, you have that foresight of navigating through fear. And then you add in the component of being a successful franchise operator. What are the components that make up a successful franchise? As you're advising somebody through that fear and, oh my gosh, there's thousands of franchise brands. What are you looking for? How are you consulting with somebody, this world that collides with emotions and so many options?
Well, the first thing I tell people is don't look at the news as your barometer whether you should start a business. Because from my understanding, since the day I've been born, the news has never had anything positive to bear. And politically, whether you're on the left, you're the right, you're an independent, you're completely the outlier, someone's going to upset you, whether it be in your local, in a region, nationally, you know, it doesn't matter. You're going to be disappointed because there's somebody you're not going to agree upon. And in franchising, where, as you mentioned, there's thousands of companies and there's today millions of franchise owners. A lot of people think that, you know, the reason someone succeeds in franchising is because they take an entrepreneur like yourself, Nick, who was in college and started a great brand like Lime Painting and created the concept of leveling up and talking about Lime, the acronym of what your company stands for, the love, the intensity, the mission, the excellent, and by living and breathing it. And your franchisees have a leader in you that people like me look up to. You've already not failed, but you've had your errors in your business and you've corrected and you've created a system and process in place to help somebody like myself be successful. You've given us the playbook with the culture and the staff to support it. I tell people when you go into business to go do your own thing, that the vast majority of people never become a Nick Lopez in life and create a company. They create a side hustle or a small business internally. When you get a franchise, yes, you do pay royalties. Yes, you invest, but you're in business for yourself. You're just not alone. And you have the support of a corporation. So if you're used to working corporate, you have it. But if you're not going to invest several hundred thousand dollars to get a great logo, great website, to pay salaries, to pay a staff, to do everything the right way, then you're not really doing the business the right way, because these franchise companies help you to have a presence from the insurance that you have to the culture that you bring to the system. So the same experience that you get, it's replicatable market by market. Now, while I don't have never owned every franchise, obviously, and I don't know every concept, by speaking to CEOs like yourself or the companies internally, I have a great view as of to the culture. You know, I get to go to visit some of these corporations. I get to speak with CEOs and get to know what they're doing or their franchisees. And we get that experience. So it is part of being part of a family. And what we help individuals do is trying to find a good fit. Now, a lot of people get hammered on LinkedIn or hammered on social media about franchising. And a lot of people say that's a scam. And I can't tell you how many people I talk to who completely, you get on the phone and they shut you out. I'm like, you're shutting me out. But what I tell individuals, don't think about buying a franchise. You should think about getting educated about the industry and that specific brand, getting informed and letting my experience guide them, because I'm an owner. But the most important thing, while every franchise has something called that FDD, franchise disclosure document, companies can't make an earnings claim. But if you speak to franchise owners, they can validate. Another validation for those who don't understand it is confirm what the culture is. Does a company support them? They should talk to individuals who are doing best in their system. There should be people who are doing in the middle of the pack. They're doing good. They're still growing. And people who may be struggling. So they should talk to the low, the mid, the highs. Get a good culture. But the vast majority of people who don't do well in franchising is because they didn't follow what they were told. They start to reinvent the wheel. I wasn't here to try to reinvent the wheel. I wanted to follow something that works. And for those looking into franchising, whether it be a Lime Painting or any other brand out there, know that you have to thoroughly review the organization and let somebody like myself who the process, and I'm actually evaluating a franchise right now. And I'm going through the same process with another company as I'm discussing. So I'm talking to the CEO of that company come Monday. And I got questions and concerns, even though I'm a consultant, legitimate questions to ask this individual, and I'm hoping to get some answers. So I advise anybody talking to any consultant, first of all, if your consultant has never ran a franchise, maybe not saying leave them because I didn't say that, but you may want to ask a few more questions. You may want to find somebody like myself or our team, like Danielle or Alex, who have been business owners. Secondly, you want to talk, make sure that you give the respect to the franchise development individuals, be courteous and show up on time because their time is just as valuable as yours. And in addition to, go through the process and go all the way. Don't be hot and don't be cold. Unfortunately, what I'm going to say is never going to reach the masses about being hot and cold because I was one of those people who was hot and cold. And it took years of me learning and fear and just me coming to the realization that if I don't give it a full chance and I stop judging these companies, and if I don't get over my own perception of what a franchise is, I'm never going to know if this is right for. Hence today, I am a very happy franchisee with a great organization. And I'm grateful for those individuals who support me today as I'm speaking here to you.
So you mentioned that you should not only talk to high performers, but bottom performers and middle performers. If I don't know anything about franchising, I wouldn't think that talking to middle and bottom performers would be very valuable. Why do you advise your clients to talk to middle and bottom performers?
Because they think that the companies are only going to pivot them to the best. Well, I can't necessarily blame any company for giving somebody who's following the system and has had success. That's what you want to emulate because that's what you want. But when you talk to performers, now, because you're a lower performing IZ does not mean that you're not following the system. There could be a lot of different reasons. Maybe someone's underperforming simply because they had a family death and that slowed down their business. Maybe they had an event that really slowed their business down. So they're underperforming based on from where they started, but they're still moving in the right direction. They're still making a good return on that investment. It's just the return isn't happening. They're not at break even instead of being, I'm just making up numbers. It's different for every system. But let's just say the break even for one could be 9 months or 18 months or 24 months. Now it's longer. It could be shorter. It just depends on the system, but they're not applying marketing the way they should. The company say, we're advising you to put X amount of dollars into marketing. And there's like, I don't think I should. So that's not following the system. I mean, if they say, hey, you should spend at least $2,000 in marketing. Marketing can be actually pay-per-click on Google. They could be doing an event like at fair and shows. You put up a tent or you're going to, you know, have an event, a booth and take leads. You can be part of the community. You're not doing the marketing aspects, and it could be buying t-shirts, giving out bottles of water, being part of profits. It could be anything. You know, being part of the community and marketing could be anything. Some franchisees don't wrap their vehicles, but the company has told them to wrap the vehicles. You should wrap your vehicles. It's important that you wrap the vehicles. It's free marketing. It's the cheapest form of marketing. You pay that one-time fee and it makes sense. People look at your vehicles all the time. They do mine and we get phone calls. You know, not being part, when you have an issue, instead of harboring it inside, go to the company and talk to them, because these companies, not a company, not Lime, there's not my company, there's not a company on this earth that's perfect. So if you're looking at for perfection, I ask anybody looking at this podcast, look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, are you perfect? The only person that's perfect is God, at least in my opinion, right? You may disagree with that, but that's the only person that's ever been perfect. So there's not a person on this earth that's perfect, not a company. And so we all make mistakes. So I think if we communicate and collaborate with these organizations, the men and the women that support us, we can get things done and they can support you and help you out there. And having a good attitude, they're more open to helping you out as opposed to being like, they're difficult to deal with. So, I mean, you should always talk to the low, the mids and the highs of any system. And you should always talk to a franchise attorney, even if you, not a business attorney. If you have business attorney friends that are really smart, great, talk to them, but talk to somebody who understands the industry of franchise law, talk to a CPA, like we refer to you to, that understands franchise owners, who deals with a lot of franchise owners' books, who understands the industry, and ultimately, you know, collaborate. You know, if you have your concerns, if you see something in a document that an attorney sees or that you've read, bring it back to the executives of the company, give them a fair opportunity to at least explain it to you. Whether or not you become a franchise owner, most people never do. Give yourself the opportunity to go through the full gamut of learning about the company. And I'll end with this, with that topic. Most people, when they go interview for a job for a company, they never challenge the company and ask the company, why is this position available? How many people were there prior to me? They never challenge the company because when you go interview for a job, you're in a position of lack of strength because there's other people who have resumes just as good as yours. But if someone was really that talented, then when the company makes a job offer, they can say, look, I don't want that. I want you to offer me $50,000 more. And at the end of this career, when I leave your company, I want to sell my title. Now, if you could do that and convince a company to sell your title you have no control over, then please call me. I'll be happy to start interviewing, making companies what I want them to pay me, and I'll sell my title. But you can't. When you're employed, you're just another number. So franchising is really the opportunity to be an entrepreneur with the help of skilled individuals who are entrepreneurs themselves and built a successful system.
So is it fair to say by talking to middle and bottom performers, you get a good sense for whether that franchise partner is harboring bad feelings and not being cooperative and investing in the business, or frankly, just not following the model? And also you're going to get good insights into whether the company is caring and supportive of the owner, even if they're middle and bottom. I think you can gain some really good insights into what is this company doing with middle and bottom performers. It sounds like you can gain some really insightful information from talking to not just the top performers, but the middle and bottom as well. So definitely time well spent.
Yes, I agree with you. I think when you talk to any system, you're going to get some people who aren't happy, but the vast majority are happy. Think about it. If majority of franchise owners weren't happy, that company wouldn't be in existence, no matter how good that franchise is or thinks that how good they are. They didn't have franchise owners. Unfortunately, that company would be non-existent unless they wanted to convert from a franchise to a corporation and they run everything. So it's important that everyone understands that when they talk to a franchise system, probably the vast majority of the people are going to be content on the direction that they're heading. And that, yeah, who doesn't want to make more money and do more in revenue and just do better? Everyone does. Maybe the business has grown a little slower for a variety of reasons. But the same way with a corporation, non-franchise, you can work for some of the biggest companies that's ever existed on this planet. Ask people if they're happy. You know, there's people, inevitably, they're unhappy. What about people who work for the US government? You know, do you think every military service member or man or woman is happy with their role? Probably not, but they can't say anything because it's a different role. But they're probably not always happy. But probably the majority of them are grateful, are content. They've learned something. And maybe where they're not always happy, but the overall experience is that, you know, I'm really fortunate from what I've learned. And I think that's what you'll notice from franchise owners. I've learned a tremendous amount that I didn't know about business. And I think most franchisees be candid and say, I couldn't have done this without the help of the franchisor and the staff that supports them every single day.
So as a franchise owner with Grout Medic, you know, how have you leveled up in terms of connecting with the high performers in the system? Now, I'm sure they are giving you best practices, tips, tricks to execute on the business. Can you share a little bit about, you know, how you've leaned on top performers within your franchise system?
Absolutely. And that's one thing when you're in business for yourself and by yourself, no one cares if you're successful because you're on it, but you're in it by yourself. But when you're in a franchise system like myself, and I need to ask, I've called the top performers on things I just didn't know. They're jobs that I just didn't have no clue what I was doing, or like a very challenging situation. Called corporate and I called the franchisees, and the franchisees were super helpful. They could relate to me. I was like a colleague. I'm an equal. Even though I was not experienced in that area of issue, they were guiding me and really giving me resources and, hey, talk to this person about that as well. Even got on three-way calls and Zoom calls, took pictures, group chats, and they really helped to solve difficult issues. Had a difficult customer. Well, we got one of the owners, another brand, to talk to my customer, which essentially is the company's customer. And I was like so grateful because, quite frankly, we just didn't know how to answer that question. It was a hard one. And really, it was one of those few times that anything like that ever comes up. And we got fortunate to get to that few times. And I learned something about that. And it is. And it was regarding marble. So tile is one thing, marble, and that's a whole different level of conversation and the materials you need and what products will damage a very expensive piece of marble. And, you know, especially when things are imported from Italy or from another country and the customer, you know, you mess that up, you know, there's not a whole lot you could say about that. So you got to be very careful. And, you know, thank God for the franchise owners that were the partners who were guiding me and gave of their time to help me. And you know how much money they made? Nothing off of that. They gave me advice. Now, when people call me, we offer the same advice to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, putting your hand back as others have done for you. That's definitely one of my favorite parts about franchising is the community and the collaboration. It's so powerful. And personally, you know, I also read E-Myth Revisited. That attracted me to franchising. And what really hit it for me was this idea of being in business with other business owners. And living that out has just been incredible. But even more so, watching franchise partners collaborate with one another and help each other get better. That has been really special to live out. So, you know, I want to change gears a little bit. I know that you are a man of faith. You've mentioned it several times, and clearly you have a deep, rich background in franchising and in consulting and personally operating a franchise. How do you think your faith makes you a better leader, a better entrepreneur? How do you incorporate your faith into your day-to-day?
I think my faith brings me into my day-to-day because it helps to humble me every single day, because I wouldn't have anything that I have, large or small, if it wasn't for God. You know, I think it's helped me to, with my attitude, pride, with the way I interact with employees, with customers, with candidates, with staff. And it's easy to get heated. You know, it's easy to want to retaliate and like, no, that's not how you do it, you know, and say something just because, or, you know, it teaches you to be patient, to listen, you know, to other people. But I think faith kind of holds me accountable, because if I'm saying I have faith and I believe in God and I have a faith that I'm a part of, then people are also going to hold me accountable based upon that faith. And they're going to hold me accountable to what I'm saying. Now, everyone watching this, understand that I'm just as human as anybody else. I still make mistakes and I will continue to make mistakes. And I am not perfect. It just helps me to know every day that I wake up with a purpose that's much greater than Chris Valdez, than Horizon Consulting Partners, than the Grout Medic, than the industry of franchising. Ultimately, I feel like I'm in the people business, and I'm here to have my life be an example and to be a testimony to others who may look at me for my faith and saying, that guy's a little different, that gal's a little different, and what makes him different? And hopefully that spurts up a conversation to where my personal experiences and my previous habits compared to my current habits, we can have that conversation one day. Because honestly, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. I was not doing very well in my early 20s when I didn't know I was sick and I got sick. So I think faith, you know, it's difficult because I'm of a different mindset, focus on my goals and I go towards it. And I think I'm more open to risk today than I was before, but I'm also more open to risk because even through all my challenges in life, I've never missed a plate of food. I've always, you know, despite my, you know, for the most part, I've always been healthy, you know, and, you know, we're all going to die of something anyway, whether it's, you know, cancer, whether it's, you know, a car wreck, whether it's a heart attack, but ultimately we all of our hearts stop at some point. So, you know, we'll have this chapter that I'm building, this book that I'm building on my life. I got the chapter that show that when you read about me, says he was completely not perfect. And if you continue reading my chapter of today that I'm writing, I'm still not perfect. But if I have a Christ-like attitude and I try to help others and help them to achieve, you know, a balance in their life, because maybe they're depressed, maybe they're going through a difficult marriage right now, maybe maybe they have mental health issues, or they're on substance abuse, right, or alcohol, or something that's challenging. I can't relate to all those issues, but I can be to help listen, console you, and to guide you, because what we do is not all about franchising. That's what you hear me talk about. It's a lot greater than just franchising. Franchising is a tool to help me to achieve my goals long term.
So much of business is not even the tactics and the strategy. Mm-hmm. It's the mental part. It's the individual that's owning and executing the business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a saying in sports, right? It's 80% mental, mm-hmm. 20% physical, and thus is high performance.
It is tough. It is tough.
And life comes. And there are different chapters and seasons. And at the end of the day, you still have a business to operate and run.
We live in a world today where we're constantly marketed on through technology, media, fancy cars. I could have a lot nicer things than I do today because God's blessed me from a point to where I could afford that and afford nicer things. But it really doesn't matter. When I die, I don't take any of it with me. I think it's important to bless others, to be giving, the relationships that you foster. And for me, it's never been about the riches. It's at one point it was. I mean, most people are like, I want to be rich. I want to have all these. And yes, there's nothing wrong with having wealth, but I think I made wealth in becoming great, my God, like my main focus, like who I was. I don't think me becoming great is so important to me. I don't want to be famous. I want to be stable. I want to have time. I want to have what most people have, and, you know, a good mental health, you know, a good physical health. I want to have a nice balance, but it's not about driving the biggest home or the fanciest. Now, if I had it, great. If I had the nicest cars, great. If I had the most expensive watches, pens, clothing, great. If I ate the best foods, great. But how many of those people today are suffering without food? People in Ukraine, the things that we're seeing on the news, how sad. You know, I think people like us who are so fortunate, I think our job is to help bless others in need. And I think that's what business ownership gives you. It removes you from being this focal point. You become the last person. And I think that's what leadership is. You're the first, but last person in anything. A leader always puts themselves last, but a leader should never ask of their people to do something that they're not willing to do. And I think too many leaders today talk about success, but I don't know too many CEOs, big CEOs of massive Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies come down from that seat. And now we do see a lot of nice programs on TV and they make a nice TV show out of it. But when's the last time that some of these corporate executives, franchising, non-franchising, ever stepped from that top seat and ever come down and talked to their lowest level employees and met them where they're at today? And I don't know too many people who do that. I think being a leader, in my opinion, is you're the very first person at the back of the line, but you're leading that group from the very front and you help mold people. And that's really my opinion on that.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned about your faith was the humility that it gives you and putting you second, not first. It's not about you. First and foremost, it's about your relationship with Christ and Christ being first. So your faith puts you in a position where you're immediately second. And business ownership requires that. It requires selflessness, whether you're serving your employees, you're serving your customers, or just the community at large. And it's not required, but my goodness, does it make for some ingredients for success? Being selfless as a leader sets you apart, and it definitely levels you up to be a successful business owner. Chris, I've seen you live out those values, and I've definitely appreciated it. So thank you for that. Chris, I'm curious, why do you love franchising so much?
I think franchising gave me like a new family. When I was growing up, it was like, go to college. I have a sibling who went to dental school. And, my father just amplified the medical business, go become a doctor, 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 doctor. If you're not a doctor, you're pretty much on the very bottom, right? And I felt pressured. And I liked medicine, actually. I just felt a lot of pressure. Like I wasn't meeting the standard of my own parent. And my mother was never that. My mother was always more about your faith, right? It wasn't about going to school. It's important to go to school, but values. My mom was more about my values and my father was more about greatness and career and titles and the money. And he wanted stability. He wanted what was best for me, but it was more that. At least that's my opinion. If you watch this, he may disagree. And when I came to franchising, I felt that it's such a host of people that you have so many entrepreneurs in one industry and people who all want the same. Everyone in franchising, whether it's famous people who own or investor groups who own thousands of, Wendy's or Taco Bell's, they want a return on their investment. They want a brand. They want to be part of something greater than just themselves. If investors, all these private equity groups who invest in these, if they didn't want to be part of something that's, a great brand, they wouldn't invest into it. So we all desire to be part of something, to be connected to something, because loneliness is miserable. We all desire human contact. And I think that's what the franchise industry has done with me. It's been able to connect me with people, incredible individuals. If you're a candidate watching me right now, looking at this video and never have spoken to me, and you will speak to me because you'll click on my link and, get on my calendar or talk to me or Danielle, you're exactly what motivates me every single day because I was in your shoes some way, maybe not 100%, but I was looking for what's next. And the industry has taught me that from people who are great in the industry to just the person answering the phones. I'm so grateful for the men and women of this industry and who have believed in the entrepreneurs like yourself, Nick. I mean, you built a company in the presence of a CEO that has humbled me and we've been able to build a relationship. So I know you've made a list a lot about talking about me, but we really should be talking about you and what you've done for the community, for the lives that you've impacted. What, there's 80 nations of Lyme around the country. Is that correct? And correct me if I'm wrong. Is that right?
Yep.
How many franchise owners do you have today?
39.
39 franchise owners. You're a father. And talk about how faith has impacted your company. Like, how has that impacted you and to where you're at today?
Oh, it starts there. It starts with faith. I call it my four Fs, right? Faith, family, friends, and franchising. And that's in that order. In my faith, I'm totally there. Clearly my family, my friends. But my goodness, when I'm in franchising, I'm completely obsessed. And it starts there. I have four kids and a life in a world outside of franchising, but they all come together. They all intertwine. And I love franchising personally because it gives me that entrepreneurial bug that I have that I want and the time, the freedom, the flexibility. And so all that coming together is just a lifestyle, right? I call it the Lime life, the Lime way, right? The Lime fam. But Lime stands for love, integrity, mission, excellence, very much a values-based company. I'm very much a values-based individual. Mm-hmm. And so those principles and clearly having an understanding of who you are and where your baselines are, that's where success starts. And that's where success comes from, knowing who you are and in moments of success and moments where maybe they're not so bright, but you can't lose yourself or where you're going. That's a recipe for disaster.
Well, it's, you know, when I met you, you were just nice and quiet and I didn't know who you were. And the relationship has built up to this point. And I'm grateful for what you've done as a brand and what you've created with your wife and your children and the family that has supported you and the other friends and that have supported you along the way. For the franchisees that I've met last December in training and to see how they have flourished as I follow them on social media and see how that they just have completely grown, how the staff has grown, how the vision has grown, the challenges that you have faced this year. And as you and I have talked and challenges that I've even faced this year as well that you know about, and just having somebody, a brother in Christ, a mentor in the industry and in the business, and somebody that I'm proud to represent. And when I bring people your way and they hear about Lime, I'm proud. I mean, I think at first that's part of the industry. I get to really get to know the companies, and at least I try to at least. Do I know every company? No, there's too many, but I focus on a nice core group of companies. But your mission statement, your logo, your culture, what you stand for is like no other company that I've seen. There's few and far beyond in this world, and especially in this industry. So thanks for being true to yourself. Thank you for leveling up, as you would say. And thank you for even giving me the opportunity to be on your podcast and share a little bit about my experience. And through my eyes and my lens, I'm able to share with others who may be watching this podcast that hopefully the goal isn't about franchising. The goal is to follow your passions in life. And if you don't know how to follow that or no one's willing to sit down with you and talk to you, feel free to reach out to me. I mean, I'm happy to sit down. I don't care what walk of life, whether you have money or you don't, man, woman, it doesn't matter. Young man, young woman. I mean, we were all there once upon a time and happy to talk to you. So we're all in this together. And I think that's what franchising is about. It's about being a big family and helping others achieve their personal goals. And I think franchising is just a tool in the industry has been that just for me.
Well said. And I can see how your love for franchising rings through and you live it out. Chris, you're truly dedicated to changing people's lives and helping them get into that chair of business ownership. It's an incredible opportunity. And my gosh, if anyone watching is interested in reaching out to you, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, and I appreciate you asking. First of all, everyone can follow me on LinkedIn, Christopher Valdez with an S. You can follow my company name, Horizon Consulting Partners with an S, Horizon Consulting Partners on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram, and or even TikTok. So we put all the same videos across the board. But the best way to reach our team is to give us a free phone call at area code 864-638-1046. If you hit extension 1, you'll reach me. If you reach extension 2, you'll reach Alex. And if you reach extension 3, you'll reach Danielle. And if you go to horizonconsultingpartners.com and read about us, you can read about all of our profiles and who we are and companies that we work with, like Lime Painting.
Well, you heard it right from Chris Valdez with Horizon Consulting with IFPG. Chris, it's been a pleasure. If you're watching and you enjoyed this video, please give us a like, but more importantly, contribute to the code. We covered a lot from validation and overcoming fear to what it takes to be successful and how you go about navigating this world of franchise entrepreneurship and validation, utilizing bottom and middle top performers. Clearly, you can see that franchising is such an amazing space, but there's a lot to it. And so contribute to the conversation. Maybe you have some questions. We'd be happy to answer them and continue the conversation. Also, please subscribe. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, It's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.